Welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens.
Hello.
It's the Gruesome Twosome. Because, well, Ryan does what Ryan does. Whatever that is. So, yesterday was Martin Luther King Day, and it brought an interesting question. Do you think it's good or bad that people are canonized into American culture? And by that, I mean that their sins aren't really ever brought up. Because we now live in a part of history. The reason I'm asking this, I might have brought this up on the show, but there's an article I ran into that was talking about how back in the day, the FBI were basically following Martin Luther King Jr. around. Yeah. So you can give or take whether what they wrote down is truthful. I mean, who really knows with the FBI, especially with their track record. But it was saying how he was a philanderer, possible rapist, etc. Yeah. And then you look up the founding fathers, you know, Thomas Jefferson, I think, was he the one that raped slaves, had a...
Supposedly, yes.
African-American daughter, I mean, he was a pedophile. You had Benjamin Franklin, who was a philanderer, allegedly broke up marriages. And you have all these people in history that you don't ever see, or nothing's ever brought up of their history, of the bad parts of them. So this was kind of my question, is if it's... Is it a positive or a negative about that? Because I think it's a net negative that... They're bringing up stuff from the past that's not important. I think it's kind of damaging to culture to some degree.
I think so. One of my biggest pet peeves is deifying the dead. Like, even when I go to funerals and it's somebody I know.
But wouldn't deifying and canonizing
the same. That's why I'm using it as deify or canonizing, whatever. You know, there are always, you know, this man, this person was such and such. Oh, how I'm going to miss him. And I just always look at those people and I have this big issue where I'm like, have to bite my tongue because at a funeral, you know, you're like, you didn't like this person. Second of all, they were an asshole in real life. And, you know, like, there was a funeral that I can think of that I didn't go to because I know that I wouldn't have been able to keep my mouth shut. And out of respect for the family, that's why I didn't go, because I'm going to be, I didn't like this asshole, you know, and type thing. But that's where I come back to it is, yes, Benjamin Franklin wasn't, I mean, we're all human. Let's just put it that way. We're all human. We have our own... You know, sins or whatever else you want to call it.
Is it important to bring up, like, after the fact? I mean, like, MLK, a man who, in all intents and purposes, is a hero, and the stuff that he went through, and it just went through a lot of crap, and then all of a sudden, it's coming out that he possibly did this, and I don't know if he did or not, and that's not what I'm bringing up, but he possibly did all these horrible things. Wouldn't that negate the message that the man himself was saying, you know, I want equality unless you're a woman, or,
I don't think that, you know, his, whatever you want to call it, his philanthropy, if that's what you want to focus on, because there was other things as well. Was also under the told that he had quite a temper, which stemmed from his dad. I think we all have those things, and I think that if we look at it as what is the legacy they lay down, that's a whole nother thing. Like, for us growing up, I remember in elementary school that, oh, Christopher Columbus was this great guy and all this stuff, and then, you know, there was a big shift mid-90s where they're like, oh, but yeah, what about that thing where he was cutting people's hands off? Or what about the thing where, you know, he was an asshole to even all these criminals that were on the boats, getting them across the sea? And, you know, there was just a lot of stuff that came out about Christopher Columbus that wasn't shedding him in a positive light anymore from what I remember in elementary school. But in all honesty, you know, we all have those things. Granted, you know, I'm not thinking I would ever go to a foreign land and start chopping people's hands off and raping their daughters, but you never know.
I asked the old guy this, and he brought up something that I think is important to the argument was, hold on, I got to take a drink.
It's just vodka, people, don't worry.
Wow.
Way to sell it, John.
you can't bring in modern morality or modern phobos.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Into the past. And I agree with that to some degree. I think it's a hard time. I think you can turn anybody into a bad guy if you view the history with modern eyes. Now, you could easily say, well, this is where he did wrong. This is what I think he did wrong. But I think completely judging somebody on today's society is, I don't think that's right. To quote the movie The Dark Knight, you know, was it live long enough to see yourself become a villain?
Yeah.
And it's easy to do that, especially after fact. Look, one example was John Lennon. Everybody says he's an amazing musician, but if you start looking into the man himself, the dude in reality wasn't a particular nice guy. Yeah. He was a famous wife beater.
And I'm not a big fan of all of his music either, but you know, whatever.
So I've been thinking about this for a while, because part of me is thinking, far as the American canon, I'm using canon, I said it before, far as in the mythos of America. It's like Star Wars. You never know the whole history of a character, even though said character is important to the story. And I think in some degrees...
You love Jar Jar, though.
I think he turned evil. I swear to God, I'm going to have a show where I'm not going to fucking cough. I do wonder if it's bad that we don't have these cultural icons, because we also live in a modern society that has no forgiveness. It's no longer ride or die. It's once or done. And so I think that's also bad, because it's a mixture of culture. They say, okay, the Thomas Jefferson did this, we need to remove every single thing he's ever done type of thing.
Yeah.
It's cancel culture times 12.
Well, that's the thing is that, I mean, I'm a big one of those people who, you know, says, look at the past for what it is, because that's how we learn from past mistakes. If we forget about the past, then we're bound to repeat it. That's how the old saying goes. But I think I want to get back to the old guy saying, you know, don't, you know, just judge them by today's society and
modern
morality. And I would say, you know, rape is rape, you know, and cheating on your spouse is cheating on your spouse, no matter what age you're in. Now, I mean, even if you look at, you know, a lot of the kings with all their, you know, harems and whatever else, they knew that really wasn't the norm.
Well, if you talk like, say, Christopher Columbus in, you know, 1492, the Bibles around then, there were multiple faiths or religions that mentioned, hey, this is bad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was, you're right on that end.
That's where I'm saying is that there's certain things that no matter what age and era you're looking at were not to be done. Now, so... But back to Jefferson and let's say even MLK is, I think what they strive their legacy to be is something to be admired, in all honesty. Now, does that negate all the bad things they were, you know, shown now? Does that negate their legacy? I would say no.
Now, here's a question for you. Take, say, when we were kids, 30 years ago, if it found out that all this stuff happened, and it may have been common knowledge, I don't remember it being common knowledge, but say if all this stuff come out, do you think it would have been a big deal as much as I think it is today? Because I think the problem with today is the fact that it's everybody's so willing to seem to cancel culture, to destroy things, and just to destroy things.
Sandblasting monuments?
Yeah, I mean, it's like... Pretty much everybody in the United States is a one percenter. If you compare the rest of the world, even the poorest person lives better than the poorest person in Nicaragua. Yeah. And by the way, if you don't believe me, I have a friend who helps a lot of people in Nicaragua who can argue how bad off they are. So let's get off that. So maybe that's it. Is it just a sign of the times that there's, you know, soft people, soft times, and there's no challenges, so people have to have some sort of wacky, you got to have something to protest. It's human nature.
Well, I hate to keep bringing it up, but I mean, Facebook gives you a soapbox. All True. Social media gives you a soapbox. And I think that's what it's coming down to, is that everybody has their own opinion on certain matters. And they, you know, you're all on a soapbox in social media. And so when you say something, there's always going to be somebody coming along and cheering you on. It's kind of, you know, like what you're going to find if you go into jail. I mean, you join with people who are like you. And if you're not like that, then you're going to be ostracized. So you might as well get along with the racist bandwagon in jail. It's kind of the same thing that I see with social media, is that when you have so many people speaking their mind, there's people that are going to latch onto that. And then you're going to join whatever that clique is at the time. And I don't want to even throw liberal, conservative, well, or, you know, whatever it is.
Incels is a perfect example.
Yeah. So I think that's what it's really coming down to. And when somebody says, oh, we should just, you know, sandblast the side of a monument, or we need to make sure that this person's indiscretions is more prominent than what he laid down as far as his legacy goes. And I think that just gets a bigger cheering squad and you hear more about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why when you're in, why I brought up jail is because, I mean, you're going to have people that are like, oh, white pride. When you get out of jail, are you really going to walk down the street white pride? I don't think many of them are going to. Maybe 2 to 5% people that get released from prison are going to come out and say white, black, or brown pride.
But isn't it, so isn't that more of a survival technique versus?
And that's what I'm saying when you're on social media. Really want all your friends to be like, oh, no, you're just nuts? You're going to have people that are bringing it up. But when you're face-to-face, this is the whole keyboard warrior thing. When you're face-to-face, do you really think that that person's going to say the same things to your face?
Now, the question, are they my friends or everybody else?
You know what I mean. Well, you know, yeah. What?
Because I say the people I call friends, they'll say the same thing to you if you're in social media or not. But you're right. I mean, the average person wouldn't go up and call Condoleezza Rice the N-word, for example.
Yeah,
or
that's what I'm saying.
Or they would say that Nancy Pelosi needs to be in a kitchen rallying pots and pans. Nobody would say that in real person in real life.
I don't want her in a kitchen.
Because that would be not irresponsible, it'd be sexist, yeah. And it would be a horrible thing to say. So you're right. I mean, nobody says, I would like to think. But on the other hand, being old enough to be in work cultures, certain businesses I've worked for, who cultures were male-oriented, I remember a couple of old guys talking about this, one of the secretaries, boob size, and then just talking up a storm about it. And they looked at me and I said, don't bring me into this.
Yeah.
I've never been that type of person, nor will I ever be to discussing that with people I don't know and in a business environment.
Yeah.
I'm not like that anyway. So you're right. I don't know. I just keep thinking it's kind of sad that we don't have heroes, and the heroes we do have, and forgive me if this seems insensitive, is baseball players, is football players. And I think that's a bad thing to look up to for some degree. You know, granted, if you're a guy if you're a kid who's very sports oriented, I think that's a good hero. But I think there is something about having heroes that in theory had a higher calling. Thomas Jefferson, for example. Nobody would have thought that, you know, I think it's important to have a hero to look up to in a sense of look what he did versus, oh, he's a failure. He's a this and that, you know, because I think you get lost in the minutia of details.
Well, I really need to find this documentary, but I'm going to bring this up because it's an interesting perspective. So let's just say, you know, you're bringing in all these historical figures. Well, let's throw in King David. And, you know, I watched this documentary that was a very,
that's an interesting,
not a really like religious documentary. It was more of just a secular documentary based on David's life, deeds, and his reign and rule of Jerusalem. And
that's an interesting question.
Through most of this, and you know what they compared him to? a mafia don. And I had to sit back, and I've read the Bible front to back a couple times. And I sat back and I said, you know what? They're right. The way he ran Jerusalem, the way he did things, from a very secular point of view, was very mafia-like. And it really tripped me out to think about it that way. But, you know, that's actually a good thing to put it as. But he did a lot for the Jewish nation.
Dead.
And a lot of good for them. But his actual interior life was a mess. Even how he was dealing with Saul and everything. So it was a very interesting one, but that's what I want to bring up, is just because from the Jewish perspective and the biblical perspective, he's an amazing, you know, hero in those stories. But if you really look at it, I mean, he saw a woman, he wanted that woman, he got that woman. True. What did he do with the husband? He sent him out to the front lines. When he was, before he was king, he basically took a band of rebels around. You know? I mean, that's really a whole thing. And then when you look at him, his mighty men, those were his lieutenants, if you really want to look at it that way.
In tight tights.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're that's so. That's an interesting way of looking at it. I
really need to find this documentary. I remember watching it, and I'm like, from a very secular point of view, this is amazing.
I mean, that you're right. I mean, that's actually that's an interesting way. I never thought about that, but that's that's a really good point.
Yeah.
I mean, one man's hero is another man's villain.
Exactly. So it's just an interesting one to bring up. But I mean, that's, if we're going to look at historical figures that way, might as well. I mean, we could look at all the Roman Empire emperors, and I mean, well, quite a lot of them were pretty fucked up, but there was a couple that were pretty good.
Hitler's my favorite example of that, because, okay, so there's a couple of caveats. If you removed all the people he killed in the Final Solution... And I know, by the way, that's a big if, by the way. That's a global size if. He wouldn't have necessarily looked like a bad chancellor. I mean, yes, the dude was a lunatic, and there's a lot of things to prove even before he did that the dude was slightly touched. But he did do things to the German public to help get the economy going.
He did a fantastic job with the German economy.
The Treaty of Versailles really just kind of destroyed Germany. And so he got the Rhineland back. He got the populace to kind of go for something. And so he did do some good things. But on the other hand, if you take a look at the fact he killed 16 million Jews, homosexuals,
black people, the black disabled, people,
Christians, like was it Bonhoeffer? Pretty much political prisoners. I mean, he did a lot of bad stuff, and I don't know. So this is the reason I brought up Hitler, was because I was trying to figure out, how do you balance that? Because I'm talking about people who are American heroes, who are in the canon of American ethos.
Yeah.
And there's really no, I don't think you could really say, in popular culture, there's really nobody that negative. Now, you could go like the Trail of Tears, but I don't think there's anybody that I'm aware of who would be as infamous as a Hitler.
No, Mussolini, Stalin?
Well, I mean, in American culture.
Oh, in American culture.
because I'm trying to figure out, like, the yin and the yang of Nixon? The argument. I don't think Nixon was that
Carter?
Bad, though.
I don't think either of them were that bad.
I'm thinking,
I mean,
you would have to think of something like one of the generals that led the Trail of Tears, if there was such a guy. Like,
oh.
Like something that would be up to the horrors. Like, who's an American that you couldn't look up to and try to do it the other way around? Like, what would be his positive and what would be his negatives? Because, like Thomas Jefferson, you say, framer of the Constitution, but a rapist. You know, you talk about... Well, that, and then you go to, you know, I'm just trying to feel out the argument.
What about Custer?
I'll go with that.
But I mean...
impatient, but before that he was considered a good general.
He did kind of let his guys loose on a few Indian
tribes. He killed women and children
Yeah.
with no mercy.
Yeah, that's the only one I could really think of. I could probably, if I really thought about it, I could pull up a couple Southern but generals.
On the other side of that, though, nobody considers him a bad general for that. They consider him a bad general for not taking along the artillery.
Yeah.
So that would be a case where I would say canonizing somebody was bad because you look at the deeds he did. And that would be an aspect that I would agree, okay, you can bring that up because I think it's a fair point. It's coloring the man.
Yeah.
So I guess the question, would it be fair to color a man whose greatest deed was starting one of the greatest trial runs of democracy?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, if I really thought about it, I'd probably pull up a couple generals, but yeah, I don't think we have anybody as dividing as Hitler.
No, I don't, you know, I'm not made Native American, so I that's a part of history I know about, but I'm not as up to date on it. So I'd be curious as somebody, if you're out there.
Whoever was the measles blanket guy.
I know in theory it happened. I have no idea if it really did.
I don't remember who it was, but no, it really did happen. I'm just trying to remember who it was.
Wasn't it smallpox?
Smallpox, yeah, whatever.
So,
but measles.
If y'all have any idea who you would consider the yin and the yang to this argument, I'd be curious to who you guys would bring up.
Yeah, I really couldn't think of that person and think of any good deeds they did as on top of that. But I don't remember who it was.
Because I love the idea of trying take a good guy or a bad guy. I think it's a great mental exercise of anything. It's kind of away from the original question, but if you can find the yin and the yang of the person, the good and the bad.
Well, I mean, I like the Hitler one because, I mean, if you really take a step back from...
Big step.
From everything that came after him restoring the Rhineland, he really wasn't a bad leader up until that point. And...
Well,
I mean, he did a lot of good for the Germans. But
he's still, even up to the point of before the Final Solution when he took power, they did some very suspicious shit.
Well, the Night of the Knives.
Yeah. I mean, so he still didn't do good stuff, but he did, in the overview, in the broad brush, you're right. He helped boost the economy, yeah. Helped bring them out of a devastating war because of the Treaty of Versailles.
Yeah.
And by the way, what I'm saying, this is a general broad brush. Do I think that he was solely responsible? No. But generally throughout history, the leaders always get the credit or they get the problem. And it just, if you look at American history, Bill Clinton gets a lot of credit for stuff that was just economics and timing.
Yeah.
Did he do some stuff that helped? Of course.
Yeah.
But you can't say it's his sole responsibility. For one, for Clinton, it was the tech boom. It was, you know, there was a lot of stuff that led up to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember I was in a government class and it was like the first month I was there. Somebody says something about Bill Clinton. I just stopped and I said, what did he do? Because they said Bill Clinton was a great president. I said, what did he do? What did he do for the economy? I started to listen all this stuff and the person was like, well, the economy was great. I said, well, he wrote off the back of Reaganomics. And they stopped and they didn't really want to talk politics with me after that because I just took their whole arguments and just tore it apart. But I mean, in all honesty, Bill Clinton wasn't that bad of a president,
so,
but he wasn't one of our greatest.
We may have a late edition. We'll see. I have. So what happens if y'all aren't familiar is I put a shout out to some friends of mine, and if they want to comment, they can. If they want to come on, they're welcome to. And so we may or may not have a late edition, so we'll see what happens.
All right, so I want to bring up something because So one of the people I work with is on Facebook quite often, and they brought up a thing, and they said, oh, Ray Nutting, I don't care, was arrested for the brush fire thing. And I didn't really look at him like, okay. They said that he was indicted.
So
I searched this.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're curious what this, he's a local politician.
Yeah.
I just want to frame because otherwise it makes no sense.
True. So they brought it up. And so supposedly what he did, he got out of this. I don't remember the actual term, but he got off on the three felony charges for using government funding for clearing brush on his private property. Now, that from what I searched today after I saw this, isn't back up again for him being indicted over. So he's off on that. But somebody told me that that was a today happening thing. But what I do want to bring up is, yes, he's running again, but he has a doorbell video of him taking his opposing candidates' flyers from people's doorsteps and replacing them with his own. Now, what do you think of that, John? Because that seems like a very old school method of something.
To be honest, as long as it wasn't anybody's personal mail, I don't actually care.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm back on it.
So if it was a political flyer, I really don't care, because honestly, I throw them away.
Yeah,
Matter of fact, if you're out there in the ether, any politician in my local government, et cetera, or federal, or don't send me it, because the only thing it does is it clogs up landfills.
Yeah.
Or can you make it out of thinner paper so I can give it to my stoner friends?
Now, I just want to see what you thought about that. And then what I want to bring up again, this going back to his indictment, this was on Facebook that this person showed me this from a local Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, that seems like a pretty messed up hoax. Because, I mean, we're talking about something that happened six, 7 years ago is when he was indicted. But to bring it up again, it's like...
It was targeted. It was on purpose.
Yeah, and I'm like, that was a really targeted thing, because I really searched online really to make sure that it wasn't something that came up again.
So here's the issue I have, and he's talked
about
it. Let's
not talk about his brush fire thing. Well,
He talked about what happened.
Yeah.
And he
it's on the old guy tech.
Yeah, he talked about what happened. He said whatever he said about it. It's said and done. This is going to come back where I say, hey, there's got to be a little forgiveness in a society who can't forgive. And so that happened. Now, the problem I have about it, and so got to frame this. The way I saw this online, it was a hit piece. Everybody I saw, that it was pretty much one guy. Hold one second. It was one guy, and you know, the text he said, you know, was kind of piss poor. And if he said something like framed it in far as, I don't think this guy it could be a good politician because of his deeds of the past and this of the deeds, I would have been okay with that, because it's part of his story. You don't really...
It's not something to dispute. It actually happened.
Yeah. No, what I saw was a hit piece and saying, this guy's a crook. He's this. He's that. I have a problem with that. And I have a problem with anybody paper doing that and framing the story, because what you're doing is you're leading the audience.
Yep.
And I may have been for it in my past. There may be stuff on this show about me being for it, but I'm not for it. People are intelligent enough to make their own opinion. And maybe you would have made the opinions like, okay, this guy did this. Or maybe it's like, hey, everybody fucks up. Big deal. So, I don't know. I really bugged me.
Yeah.
I thought it was really piss poor.
Yeah. You know what that makes me think of is the old terminology, muckraking. And that's what it is to me.
100%.
So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if they were bringing it back up and he was actually being indicted as of this week, I see relevance in it. Yeah. Something that was 7 years ago that he didn't get charged on. You know, you can, as John said, you can bring it up, but to just post it on a public forum page, making it seem like it happened this week, that's lowball. So that's what I wanted to bring up is... That's all that it seems to me. And it's just crap to do it that way. Now, his whole thing about him going up to doorbells and taking flyers and stuff, and to me, that's just bad form for somebody who is a politician and a district supervisor. just bad form, but does that make me think he's a terrible person? No, I just think he's being really dumb, which we all have our moments being really dumb, but, you know, that's all that I could, that's all that I see it as. Now, let's switch the subject. So, Florida National Weather Service put out a warning saying, watch out for falling iguanas.
Holy crap.
And I'm not making that up. I mean, can you imagine walking down the street and all of a sudden you have a freaking iguana passed out on your head?
Oh, my God. What was the old joke? Watch out for drop bears?
Yeah, but I guess iguanas are...
Hold on, let me... One second. Hold on one second. I got to get something to work. So one of the negatives and positive about technology is I have an amazing switch, but sometimes it does not work. Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. That's a little better. You were on speaker before.
Can you hear him?
Yeah, I can hear him.
Yeah.
So let's see. What were we talking about? You want to restart the conversation?
I just said the Florida National Weather Service has put out a post saying, watch out for falling iguanas.
Foreign iguanas?
Falling.
Falling iguanas, so I believe that, actually.
Well, they said it's good.
I don't know what country you're in.
Florida.
Florida, I would definitely believe that in Florida.
Well, they said the weather is getting cold enough to where they fall.
What were you saying?
No. There's tornadoes that do that. And then have you ever seen, you know, the Sharknado?
Jesus.
That's an obvious. Come on, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Sharknadoes is when there's a tornado in the Gulf. And obviously sucks up a shark or two and drops it, you know, down into the mainland. And the shark just starts going off and creates havoc on the mainland.
To quote Paris Hilton, that's so hot.
Not for iguanas.
It's a thing, too. It happens all the time.
It's like the old joke about watch out for drop bears. I just couldn't imagine you're just doing, I guess in Florida, you'd be going to strip club, drug dealer, whatever, and next thing you know, a shark lands on you.
I mean, if you're going to go with Florida on anything, you just Google your name and the date of birth, and I guess you pretty much get an idea of what happens in Florida on a daily basis. That's pretty effective.
Yeah, there's some weird shit that goes on in Florida.
Yeah, what was it?
It's a crazy place, right?
What was it? Fark.com? Was it Fark? Yeah, it was one of these news websites. Yeah, I think it was Fark that they had a thing just called Florida. They had their own, Florida had its own tag. It was United States, Israel, Florida.
No, Florida deserves its own tag. If you've never traveled there, you might as well really save the money and go do it. It will blow your mind. Oh, spitball. Thank you.
Sorry,
I'm getting spitballs from across the table here.
No, it's all good. Oh, so introduce yourself. I forgot to do that.
Oh, yeah. No, my name's Tristan. Long time Placidville resident. I'm here with Cody Bridenbaker and Jacob Prater. I'm getting sliced up over here by Carter, the little hechion with the spitball gun.
Nice.
Sounds like you're having more fun. I'm in my in my fairly warm studio.
Yeah. Okay, so.
So,
hold on. I have to apologize for one second. The creep around the corner is so strange. It's just so strange. Why do you do these things?
I kind of feel like a voyeur right now. I'm listening in at somebody's conversation.
Yeah.
It's like that movie. Was it Rear Window?
Right.
Did you ever see that?
You guys,
no.
I did. You guys ended up in a awkward position of me being done at a restaurant and about to head out, but you called me anyways, so here you go.
Nah, it's, hey, you know, it's half the fun, because now we can make snide comments about the background noise.
Oh, that's true.
Which wouldn't be reality, so, we'd be doing if we were there.
hold on. Let me bring in the bartender because she needs to tell us about the day. Hold on. Are you all right with that?
Yeah, sure. It's all good, man. No worries.
Absolutely. Come here. Come on.
Sounds like you were denied.
All right. She got real shy just then.
She doesn't want six people to hear her complain about her day.
Sure, sounds like
she wasn't going to complain about her day. She's super fun.
I can talk about my favorite bastard drink. At least that's what I've been told it's called.
So what's your favorite bastard drink? What do we got?
Well, I've been so it's
probably match this one.
So it's an old fashioned, but it's with orange bitters. Is it orange bitters, triple sec, whiskey, and soda water? I've been told that's not
fair enough.
I've been made fun of it.
Not too far off. Have you ever tried a tequila old fashioned?
Not a giant fan of tequila, honestly.
No, but a tequila old fashioned is actually an interesting drink. It actually is delicious. All those flavors match really well.
Huh. Well, if I ever have a bottle of tequila, I'll have to try it.
Well, I suggest it with high end, not low end, because low end is terrible.
Honestly, considering how little I buy alcohol, that's pretty much what I try to get if I can afford it. Now, I don't have James's taste in tequila.
What? What's wrong with tequila?
All right.
What was that
so
bottle
is
of tequila?
James on the line with us right now.
Yeah, he's here.
All right, there's James.
Yeah. I was talking earlier. You just kept talking. Corzo is what I like.
He likes Corzo.
Hey, think about it.
Corzo.
Jose. Corzo. Oh. Yeah, no, that's a little better. As long as you didn't say Corzo, that would be a very stressful situation for me. Yeah. Terrible.
All right.
So that's there, Jacob. So I was gonna say, so I'll round out the conversation that we had before you got on. We were wondering if it was fair to bring up people's past. So I guess the story, the way I brought it up was canonized historians. So if you take up, it's like Martin Luther King, you find out he did such an amazing amount of stuff, but there's stories that have been leaking out over the years about he wasn't such a great person. Now, my comment is, I don't think that's fair to bring up, and other people think it is.
So that's an easy answer for me, actually. So history will prove that any human being has their flaws, their problems. It's not about those flaws or problems. It's about the great things that they accomplished. So sure, bring them up. Hopefully what they did out... Sorry, I just got nailed with a spitball. Hopefully what they did outweighed those negatives. You know, there's been plenty of politicians over the years. If you go back to the founding of this country, some of the best politicians that we had slaves, grew marijuana, made alcohol. I mean, there was a lot of
that wasn't illegal
that were
back
happening.
Then.
No, it wasn't, but I mean, also adultery was, but that,
I'm wondering
that's
if
an outside perspective coming from across the table, so it's fine.
No, I was wondering because it sounds like you're more like in high school detention than you are in a bar.
I'm basically, I'm not in a bar. I'm in a restaurant. That is far right now. But if you take like, you know, your early presidents and things like that, they all owned slaves, they all cheated on their wives, they all drank excessively, grew marijuana. I mean, this country is founded on being free. And there is a difference from today to then, obviously, but that difference is purely opinions and people not willing to be able to differentiate opinion. And what their actual feelings are. Because I think if people really step back and look at the political system the way it is, the political system is essentially failed. What we have is a two-party system that is absolutely flawed. Two parties doesn't work, particularly when we got terrible choices on the Democratic side. Terrible choice.
No. You always have to go between a douche and a turd sandwich.
So, did you hear that since Disney purchased Fox Studios, Disney is removing Fox from the title? So, it's going to go back. So Centra, 20th Century Fox is going to go back to its original name of 20th Century. And the... Hold on one second. My cell phone. It's the only problem with technology. It just doesn't work sometimes. Why? Hold on. My humble... Are you there?
Yeah, oh. We're all here.
So basically what happened is, so apparently Murdoch bought, I think it was sometime in the 80s when it came 20th Century Fox. Now, this is the most interesting thing is, depending on what side of the political spectrum you are, people are for or against it. I don't actually care. I think it's an interesting move.
I don't really care.
So, I mean, if you really look at the political spectrum the way it is, those purchases don't matter, other than what you're looking at is liberals are buying television news stations. I mean, that's just the way it is. If you look at the ownership by corporation and by actual oversight ownership, I mean, not who owns particularly each particular news station, but if you go much, much deeper and you start looking at...
Cody, stop.
If you look at what corporations actually own each of the news agencies, you'll find that most of them are going to come down to the long term of GE, Halliburton, essentially your war machine, but they're also promoting a liberal stance, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. What I have found in my studies is that all of these places are promoting a similar agenda. I mean, even Fox News in its long run is still promoting a liberal agenda. Even with conservative headlines, they're still promoting a fairly liberal agenda. And to me, in the long run, that means we're promoting one thing and one thing only if two parties are both supporting the exact same thing. We're just supporting whoever is running the news agencies. So if the news agencies are running everything and the news agencies are all run by corporate America, which is essentially run by the military industrial complex, what you're looking at is the military is literally telling us what to do, how to do it, and when to do it at all times.
So I want to throw a little salt in Disney's wounds because I found this interesting. Do you know who Tommy Kirk is? Any of you?
I do. I don't. No, and I don't guarantee the other side of the table does.
So Tommy Kirk is an old Disney actor. He was the older son in the movie Old Yeller, played Ernst in the Swiss Family Robinson.
Right.
I just recently found this out, that he was actually let go from Disney. He's gay. He was gay at the time, and he knew it. He was fired. Walt Disney fired him personally for being,
oh, wow.
Having an affair and with another male, and Disney let his contract lapse and let him basically fired. I've never heard that ever.
So essentially, he was fired for
being gay,
for being gay and having a relationship with one of his coworkers.
Yeah, but I don't think I just knowing the times, I don't think he would have gotten in trouble if it was if he did it with a female.
No, he wouldn't have.
Especially because apparently, and this is another thing I didn't know, at the time, Disney was considered one of the more conservative corporations, which
Disney's always been conservative.
Well, Disney back in the day, if you had long hair as a guy, they wouldn't actually let you entrance to the park.
Well, just look at their general hiring of people that work inside the park.
Well, the people that clean things up, that are all dressed in a white uniform, if they even get that a spot on that, they're supposed to go down and get change.
I'm more talking about princes and princesses and things like that. There's been a long-running and well-known status that Disney hires a very specific religious type for that specific purpose.
Well, the thing is whatever uniform or whatever character they're supposed to be playing, if they can't fit the suit, they don't get hired. They have to fit whatever wardrobe is already there. They don't make the wardrobe fit the person. The wardrobe has to fit the person.
I actually just read an article talk about that they just got permission, them being the people who play the characters, and I'm assuming this is the princesses and the mainly. Apparently, they're now allowed to use their own underwear. Apparently, they were using, like, communal underwear, which is disgusting.
Now you're getting back to the actual stance that I was taking, this where the actual Disneyland properties came from and their actual stance and how they treated employees for a lot of years.
Well, they
communal is not exactly the right word, which would be common. Yes, I would agree with that. Common underwear that pertains to one specific religious ideology. I'd completely agree with you on that. That was about a 50-year running thing.
Interesting.
Like Mormon underwear?
No, they all wore the same thing. Because that's what their religion required. if that makes sense.
I didn't know Disney was a religion, but okay.
No, it certainly is not, but they did have an option. They did have a stance, and they have for a lot of years chosen to hire only out of a certain demographic. And that demographic has consistently been of one religion, particularly for princesses, which I can understand. So imagine this. Imagine being in downtown Disney. You take your kids out and they see this beautiful princess and you guys are having all sorts of fun and Disney's amazing. And then 4 hours later, you take your kids out and you go to dinner and there's that princess drunker and shit at the bar.
It can happen.
Oh, it does not happen. And there's a reason for it.
Excuse me. Hey. Yeah. Like I said, at some point, I'm gonna have an episode where it doesn't sound like I have the consumption. Because I'm surprised I haven't gotten the emails about it. I'm a huge Disney geek. My grandfather actually helped wire the Matterhorn back when Disneyland was being worked on. I don't know. Disneyland is an interesting thing. I've heard a lot of the people from Anaheim aren't a particular fan of it just because the way they work the system. But on the other hand, they draw an incredible amount of people to Anaheim because realistically, who wants to visit Anaheim if it wasn't for Disney?
There's really nothing else there.
This is definitely true. I find Disney interesting. I've heard a number of things about Disney over the years, from the face characters having to share Share underwear to the very big occult. I know somebody who was talking about when they were younger, and this was back in the 60s, how big the Disney was, very occultish. Now, I have no proof of that, but...
And that's what I was referring to.
No, what religion...
But I was simply just staying very outside of it, and I'm not going to name religion, so there's no reason for me to. I'm not in the know enough to actually be able to do that, and I feel like that would be... remiss on my part to actually.
Well, you can say allegedly, because that's what we do. This is part of the conversation. What we do is we'll bring up something and I'll say somebody allegedly did this. We've talked about topics that are very probably sensitive, and it's all done in the spirit of conversation. Nobody means to hurt, and that's the way we always frame everything.
Certainly, I don't want to fight with Disney, so.
I wouldn't worry about Disney getting in trouble, getting in trouble via Disney, because, A, if they actually knew of this podcast, I'd be incredibly surprised. Because the amount of podcasts that are out there.
Yeah, true.
I am curious about what the Disney family thinks of the modern Disney, though, because it's being close to being a monopoly, especially in the movie industry in America. They own Fox, they own Pixar, they own Marvel, and Marvel's been making millions, if not billions, of dollars on everything. Lucas Star Wars. I'm kind of curious if they're going to get in trouble, because they have a lot.
They'll have to buy up Universal and Sony before they can really...
No, that's a Comcast, though, and I don't see Comcast.
Well, I'm just saying they would have to buy those things up to really be the full monopoly.
However, they would gladly buy up Sony so they can finally get Spider-Man back since they sold the rights.
Yeah.
But yeah. Who owns Disney? That would be the easiest, quickest question to ask you. Who owns Disney? That should be a quick, easy lookup when you... has a computer in front of you. I do not, but there's no other company that owns that business. Disney is not a sole proprietor. They are a corporately owned business. So who owns them?
So
it's just like Robert, CNN,
Robert,
Fox News,
Robert Iger.
NBC.
Robert Iger is Disney's single largest individual shareholder, which surprised me because I would have thought it was Steve Jobs' family, considering a Pixar. He has 1.0 something million shares as of 2019.
Okay.
I'm
so
super surprised.
What else does he own? Like in the media sense? Would be my question.
Fox News.
That's where I would go. It's like, who does he own?
I have no
NRA.
Oh God!
Yeah, seriously. Like these are
the Denver airport.
If he owns the Denver airport, I blame him for having to march 6 miles from one end of the damn airport to the other.
That is terrible.
Because there's that. If I remember correctly,
the worst airport ever.
If I remember correctly, I think that's the one that has that little tunnel that the farther you go under, the more you start smelling brimstone.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fucking hate that airport.
Goes with their artwork.
Actually, yeah. I hate Dallas.
Nobody
Fort
Nobody likes that airport.
I hate Dallas Fort Worth more. Dallas Fort Worth is the coldest airport in the fucking planet. My wife and I got stuck there coming back for our honeymoon, and apparently it's a blue Nile there because after 6 o'clock everything shuts down.
True.
Which is surprising, and you don't even see those. You know, you don't even see any of the help there. None of the janitors there. They're all like, fuck it. It's cold. I'm gone.
Yeah, literally. I've taken transfers through there at fairly late at night, and there is nothing. There is not a darn thing to do. You can't go anywhere. It's a heck of a trip. But like I said, the whole point to the question was, aside from Denver Airport, what else is he fully invested in? Because if you start looking at where these investments come in with specific companies, you can start to trace the money and you can start to see where their speech lines are coming from, where their taglines are coming from.
So I would actually have to, just doing a cursory search, I would actually have to do a little bit more of a search, because I don't see anything off the top initial pages of what he owns. There is an article, come on, talks about Disney, his greatest acquisitions under Disney, which...
Sure.
Oh, come
on. So now you got to start looking for something more of the military-industrial complex. Does he have shares in GE, Halliburton, Boeing? You go down the list. I mean, who's creating hardware
aerospace
for our U.S.? Exactly. Anything that's making hardware for our U.S. military, just go down that list. If he's heavily involved in those ventures, then there you go. There's where your talk line is coming from.
Wow, this is... So apparently, God, where was that line? That was amazing. Sorry, I just saw something. Here you go. The company's net worth has increased 404% under Bob Igor, or is it Igor, who is still set to depart the position out of 2021. Disney has earned more than $8 billion from the sale of movie tickets, which means Marvel...
Jesus.
...and Pixar
well,
solely
they
because...
picked up Marvel, Pixar, and the Star Wars... game. I mean,
I
that's
don't,
easy money. But.
I don't see them doing that much in Star Wars, considering they really sat on it. Star Wars hasn't, up until recently, hasn't really done a lot. They relied a lot on Pixar for a lot of the earlier, for a lot of
I
their...
I mean, they did create the Disney Plus channel, which is making them a crap pile of money if you put millions of dollars, or millions of viewers. And then,
in all honesty, that's probably a loss leader for him, at least for now, just because what part of the issue is if you have a couple of million people subscribing, that's a pretty big hit on the infrastructure. Now, the question is, what colo are they going to? I'm assuming it is. I mean, they own the content, so they don't have to pay for any of the licenses. If anything, the biggest problem they have right now is actually retaining some of the content because of previous agreements. There's some stuff that's actually going to be leaving that left the Plus, Disney Plus, because of those previous agreements. Because one of the things it does is it gets people more excited. So eventually it's going to make money. I just don't see it doing now. Because you got to pay for bandwidth. Like right now, Netflix is still number one in bandwidth usage. And Netflix was getting huge, not fines, but arguments and lawsuits because of how much bandwidth they wanted, and Comcast wanted to pay them per user type of thing.
Oh, shit.
Right. It's been a mess with the whole Netflix, Comcast, especially being a Comcast user.
I think Pixar and Marvel would be my guess as far as the biggest one that made the money, because Disney hasn't really... Disney's bread and butter, especially if you look over previous, was really traditional animation. You go into Lion King, which used some CG, not all CG. And you go into Pixar, which I think that's the only reason they stayed around, because using Pixar as a partner, they were a distributor, not a studio.
Yeah.
They purchased Pixar, and then they became a studio again.
Yeah, the thing is, now you've got all these live actions, which is they're completely redoing the entire Disney library, and they're redoing the Disney library as a live action. I mean, we've got Dumbo, we've got Jungle Book, we've got Lion King. I mean, you keep going down the list, now it's all live action.
Well, there's
or at least false live action.
Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin.
There's nothing.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, God, Aladdin. I've seen a bunch of clips of that.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that was terrible.
Basically what it is... is there's no such thing as original idea in Hollywood. And then when you own
Ecclesiastes 1:3 or something like that, nothing new under the sun, man. That's in the Bible. You can't get away from that. There's no recreating things. Like everything's already been done. We are living in a world where we're just simply recreating again and again and again. That's a fact.
No, this is true. I am super curious about what their next move is. I didn't realize he boosted at 404%. Holy crap, that is a very... So, let's see, nearly 20 years. So I guess he's been president of Disney for 15 to 20 years. That is a hell of a jump in that amount of time to boost profits that much.
Yeah.
But again, look at where the profits are coming from. Look at where his base is originating from. Look at where his actual investments are. I bet you he's heavily invested in Boeing. I bet you he's heavily invested in Halliburton. I bet you he's heavily invested in the basics of what makes this country fly. The basics of what makes this entire country fly is, again, going back to our military-industrial complex. We don't have it. This country fails. Why do you think we've been at war essentially since 1913, whenever the First World War started? I may be off on my date, but that's all right. We've literally been at war since, and we have to be. It's a fact. That's how this world works. That's how this country works. If Boeing's not making jets and bombs and rockets or whatever, and Halliburton's not out tending to our oil fields and being security to our diplomats, like how are we funding this country?
Besides, Apple has a ton of money. I didn't realize Bob Iger also served on the Apple board of directors. I'm curious on whether a board he's on. That's interesting.
So Apple's always great. I mean, it's probably one of the few companies that, and I haven't done enough research to actually look into it. Maybe they are, but they're probably one of the few that I don't feel like are connected in that way. But if Apple, you're going to take Microsoft and things like that, they are 100% connected right into Boeing and everybody else. They have to be.
Well, the thing you're missing, and we're actually a little over time, is Apple is a lifestyle company. Microsoft is a business company. And so Microsoft has contracts for things all over the world. I mean, if you want to go kind of down the rabbit hole, look what IBM did for the Nazis.
Exactly. Now you're coming back around because IBM is a Microsoft platform.
IBM's actually its own platform. They're really heavily into the cloud. So I want to thank you for being on the show. I appreciate it. You calling in last minute for helping keep us the mad trio. I really do appreciate that.
Cheers. Good time.
Yeah, any final words?
Oh, just have a good time, boys. You guys should hopefully get more viewers and more listenership or whatever that goes by with a podcast. Enjoy yourselves, all right?
All right, thank you.
Later.
Bye. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James, the Fat Man Stevens, and Ryan,
whatever,
on call, Preston. As always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.